Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a message from the series, Prayer Principles. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free copy of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
In previous sessions on Sunday mornings, we've been teaching on the subject of prayer, prayer principles. We believe at the direction of the Lord that this is what we should be focusing on right now. And I believe this is session number 13. That's about right. But we've been studying the subject of prayer, what prayer is, and then most specifically looking at Jesus, who is the ultimate example of a prayer, right? You won't find a better prayer than Jesus. And looking at how he prayed and how he has taught us to pray, both by his teaching, his precept, and his example. And so we've seen, you know, so many things that he told us to pray in love. He told us to pray in faith. He told us that we must ask. We talked about the difference between asking and requiring in Jesus' name. So there's a time to pray, and then there's a time not to pray, but to say. I understand in Mark 11, 23 and 24, it didn't say, whosoever will pray, God move the mountain. No, what did it say? This is not prayer. That's you speaking to something. So there's a time to pray, and then there's a time not to pray, but rather to say. We looked at persistent praying. We looked at intercessory prayer. We looked at the prayer of submission. We looked at times when you're not supposed to pray. There are some things you could pray, but you shouldn't. You must be led by the Spirit. There's a time not to pray. We looked at communion with the Father. Last week we looked at the prayer for regeneration. Now today we're going to go further, and this may be our last one on prayer today. We'll see for now. But in Philemon, if you would please turn this morning, let's look at another area of prayer so vital, so important. Now if you don't know where Philemon is, watch your neighbor and see where they turn. Of course, they might not know either. Anybody know where Philemon is?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, if you know where Hebrews is, you'd be real close. Philemon is right before, immediately before, the book of Hebrews. Just one chapter, and look at verse 4. The Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. So what did he pray? Hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Now that refers to what? His prayers. He was praying that. He said, back up to verse 4 now, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. This is not one prayer that he prayed, but many prayers and over a period of time, a lifestyle thing, praying what? Verse 6, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That's what he's praying. Let me read that to you from another translation. He said, praying, this is the English version. He said, every time I pray, I mention you and give thanks to my God. My prayer is that our fellowship with you as believers will bring about a deeper understanding of every blessing which we have in our union with Christ. Everybody said out loud, every blessing,
every blessing
which we have
in our life
in union with Christ. Is that what he's praying for? Now, I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit. There is a big error in the church world. Big. It's been existing for centuries. And after I describe it to you, I trust that it gets into your heart and thinking so much that you'll recognize it when you hear it, because up till now you might not have noticed it that much, but I trust that after today you'll identify it and you'll see it and you won't receive it and you won't participate with it and you won't go with it. Denomination after denomination. Charismatics, so-called word and faith people, no different. You hear a constant stream about what we need. So much praying is about what we need. So much of the singing. Listen to the words of so many songs. And so much of it is, we need you. We need you. We must have this. We must have that. We need. That is not what the New Testament teaches. Did you hear me? The New Testament does not teach that we need Him. It teaches that we have Him. Oh, hallelujah. You get this today, friend, it'll turn your life around. I'm telling you. If you begin to look and listen, you'll see what I'm talking about. I mean, the church world is just permeated with this mentality of we need, we must have, oh God, give us this. We must have this. Give us this. We're in need of this. We want this. A lot of the modern popular songs. The tempo is nice and maybe it's got a nice little groove to it, but it's all about we want. Oh, we gotta have. Oh, we need. This is not what Paul prayed. This is not the emphasis in the epistles. What did he say? He said, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you all the time. What? That you would come to know everything that is in you. Not everything that you might get someday by and by. Everything that is in you. Every good thing that is in you now in Christ Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Can you say amen? Do you see this? Hallelujah. Go with me back to Colossians, please, and let's just take some time and look at some of the prayers that they prayed over themselves and that we're taught to pray over ourselves. Colossians and the 4th chapter. Colossians 4. He said, verse 12, Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. This is something that's ongoing. He didn't just pray it one time and that's it. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Why? To what end? That you might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Listen to another translation. The NIV says that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. Did you hear that phrase? Fully assured, fully convinced. Of what? Of the will of God. The English version says that you may stand firm as mature and fully convinced Christians. Say that out loud. Fully convinced.
Fully convinced.
Of what? Have you heard terminology like that before? Abraham was fully persuaded. Does that mean he was begging, oh God, give me a boy. Give us a boy. Please, God, help Sarah to conceive. Please. Please. No, after you've heard the word. I said, after you've heard the word and the Lord says, I'm going to visit Sarah, you're going to have a seed. Should be no more asking. To continue to ask after that means you don't believe what he told you. At this point, you must be fully persuaded. Right? That means you are fully persuaded that you have something. Right? You have a word from the Lord. You have direction. You are the present tense possessor of something. Not trying to get it, not hoping, not wanting, not begging, not needing, but having. And you're fully assured. You're confident. Now, go with me to Colossians, the first chapter, please. Let's just take some time and go over some of these prayers. We're here in chapter 4. Let's look at chapter 1. How are we supposed to pray? And as we go through this, you're going to see that you see the same thing again and again. Not just one or two places. Again and again and again. Let's check up. See, are we praying like this? In Colossians 1. Colossians 1:3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Praying. And down in verse 9, he begins to describe exactly what he's praying. Verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire what? Now, what's he praying for? That you, now notice, not that God would do something for you. Did you hear me? But that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. A realization and awareness that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in what? That you know, that you're persuaded, fully assured, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father which is going to. What? What has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, and praying that God would deliver us from darkness. Huh? Then why are so many praying for deliverance from darkness? Did you hear me? No. God who what? Has delivered us from the power of darkness, and he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have, not going to get, have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Do you see it now? What's he praying? That you would know what God has already done, and you'd know what you have.
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching from the series, Prayer Principles, you may call More Life Ministries at 941-702-7390. That's 941-702-7390. Just mention that you heard this message on the radio. You may also download this and other messages from our website at morelife.org, where you will find additional information about this ministry, including an itinerary of upcoming meetings. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.